All right, let's read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. This is a what's called in many Bibles or in commentaries, if you read those, what's called a prologue to the gospel. If you think about Matthew and Luke and Mark and how they really start a story almost from the bat. I know Matthew starts with the genealogy, but then halfway through chapter 1, he's telling the story of the birth of Jesus, and Luke does the same. Mark jumps right in at the baptism. John takes a little bit of time to develop this. His story, his narrative, doesn't really start until verse 19, but he takes the first 18 verses of John, the first several paragraphs, to lay out some foundational ideas. It's almost like, you know, when you pick up a book and you're reading the preface to it, and he says, this is what I'm going to talk about in the book, and then when the book is pretty bad, you feel like, I only needed to read the preface, but I read the other 482 pages anyway, but it said everything in the preface. But that's not what John does. He writes a nice, succinct introduction to get us prepped and ready for what comes the rest of the gospel. And so there are three main themes that we're going to see as we read through this. And they all center around the idea of how Jesus reveals God to God's people. How Jesus reveals God to the world. And so the three themes to be paying attention for are that Jesus reveals God to the world as the Word, as the life and light, and as God's grace and truth. So those will be the three themes to be paying attention for as we read, starting here in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Amen. Got up this morning, went into the bathroom, took a look at a device hanging on the wall called a mirror, and didn't like what was revealed. I don't know how many of you have to experience that, but when you think about how things are revealed to us, and John talks about light in the darkness, and I'm talking about a mirror, but these things, they allow things that are normally hidden to be revealed. Last week, I was out at Rochester College with another minister, and we were doing a project of sorts for a summer camp that they had there, and their theme was revelation. And so in their main area, they had mirrors hanging around all over the place to give this idea that that we're to reveal God, that the images coming off from us, when people look at us, we're to be a reflection of God. And that's true when you think about it that way. When you look in a mirror, it tells you the truth because it reveals back what's really there. It bounces it right back to you. Sometimes when we think about what we reveal about ourselves, we do try to be hidden with some of those things. When we're in a new relationship with someone and we're not always sure how they're going to take us, you know, the real us, we can be guarded. We hide some of the things that we have already revealed to other people who know us better. For some of us, that might be our political positions. It might be biblical beliefs that we have that we know are outside of the mainstream. We hold those things back because we don't want people to know what we really think about something. In our lives, how do we reveal God to others? It's not only through what we say to other people, but it's also through how we conduct ourselves. It's very likely, well, let me throw this saying out. I'm sure you all have heard this saying before. I can't remember where it's from, but the saying is something like, people would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. And somebody else has said, you might be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. And the point of saying it like that is not to undercut the spoken word or the spoken sermon or even the written word. But the point of saying it like that is that Christians are called to reveal something of God. But we are not the first ones who are called to reveal something of God. Jesus himself came to reveal God directly to us.
Amen.
Jesus came to reveal God, to reflect God through his own life so that everyone who encountered Jesus would know what the Father is. Chapter 1, verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Jesus came so that others might actually know the Father and not just know about the Father and not just know something about the Father, but actually know the Father. That's what he says. Know the Father. That's relationship. How are we to have a relationship with the Father? We do it through Jesus. Because Jesus has come to reveal who God is and what God is like and how we can find our way to God.
Amen.
And he calls us to reflect him, to radiate him, the same way that he reflects and radiates God. He calls us to reveal God to others. And how do we do that? We reveal God to others by becoming just like Jesus.
Amen.
And when we adopt in our own lives the values and attributes of Jesus, then we become just like him. And in the same way that he radiated God to others, we can also radiate Jesus to others so that they might come to him and through him come to the Father. God has revealed himself in a number of ways throughout the Bible. Going all the way back to the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden, God revealed himself personally to Adam and Eve. Evidently, he would walk through the garden with them. And he would call out to them and have conversation with them. After that, he would speak to his people. He would have conversations with men like Abraham. Later, he would reveal himself through miracles. I'm thinking of the prophet Elijah, who went up on the mountain with hundreds of false prophets of the false god Baal. And though they did everything they could to get their false god to come through for them and do something for them, nothing happened on the mountain until Elijah stood up and called forth fire from God that came and burned up a sacrifice that was placed on an altar that had had water poured all over it, and then a trench dug around it filled with water so that what happened could be indisputable that it was from God.
Amen.
So God began speaking to his people through miracles. Later in the Old Testament, God would speak to his people through prophets themselves. So that men like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Hosea and Joel could stand up and speak forth the words of God. Not the words of God that had God directly speaking to them, but the word of God that came through his servants who humbly lived so that they could display the greatness of God through their own lives. And that's what they did. And then Jesus comes on the scene. And he gives us the complete and final revelation of God in his very being. So if we want to look for where God is revealed, what John is going to tell us is that we need to look no further than Jesus himself. But sometimes we look in other places Sometimes that's because we have already counted the cost, and we know that to follow Jesus the way he wants us to really get to know God the way God wants us to, is going to require us to make some changes in our lives that we don't want to make.
Amen.
And so when we look at it like that, sometimes we will then look out and look at other ways of trying to find God. And so we'll selectively look through the Bible, trying to find parts of the Bible that accommodate what we already want to think about something and kind of overlooking the rest. Or we'll look for God in other people. Or we'll look for God in the newest self-help book or whatever TV program might be on where somebody's going to tell us how to live our lives better. And sometimes, as we're doing this, sometimes we find a little bit about God, but at best we're only going to find a glimpse of God, a glimmer of God, if that's the approach that we're trying to take. But if we want to find God fully, and if we want to know God fully, and if we want to enter into a relationship with God the way that Jesus talks about, the only way that we're going to find that relationship and enter into it is through Jesus.
Amen.
And that's the point of John. If you would, turn all the way over to the end of the book of John, or at least allow me to do that, and then you can, I'm in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Or you can just listen as I read this. This is towards the end of the Gospel of John. And John is writing about why he's written this book. And he says in chapter 20, verse 30, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is why John wrote. To reveal the way to God, to reveal the character of God, to reveal how God accepts his people and what God desires from him. He wants us to believe in him, in his name. And so he sends Jesus to be that complete revelation of who he is. And he does this, John points this out by talking about three different themes. First, Jesus is the Word of God. This is chapter 1 of John, verses 1, 2, and 3. And also down in verse 14, where he talks about Jesus as the Word of God. We're supposed to think about, when he talks about Jesus being the eternal Word of God, to be reminded of all the way back in the creation stories of how God spoke things into being. And then John says, nothing was made that wasn't made through Jesus. Jesus as the Word of God is God's creative force, God's creative energy. And it's because of this that Jesus is able to reach into people's lives in the Gospels and make something new out of the mess that they've created. It's because he has that creative element that God had. No one else is able to do this. None of the elders or the chief priests or the religious leaders that existed at the time. Often they would make things worse for people. Jesus was critical of them. They make things worse. They add layer upon layer of nonsense for people to have to do or hoops to jump through so that they can have something good happen for them. But here comes Jesus, and this is one reason why he was so disruptive. He takes the mess of somebody's life, and because he is the eternal creative power of God, he's able to take that mess and create something brand new out of their life. Change it in an instant. He's the Word of God. Just like when God created back in the beginning, Jesus is able to create now. And in fact, when we look around the world, John tells us nothing is here now that didn't come about because of Jesus and through Jesus. But beyond that, another element of Jesus being the Word of God is that Jesus speaks the very words of God. If he is God, then what comes out of his mouth are the things of God, the words of God, the teachings of God. So when we read the Gospels, in particular John, but when we read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then we go to John and we see what Jesus is saying, and also in Acts, when we see what Jesus is saying, it's the words of God themselves.
Amen.
And shame on any of us when we try to make Jesus' words secondary to anything else that we read in the Bible, because we find his words too challenging. We need to take the time and spend the effort to wrap our own lives around the teaching of Jesus rather than trying to find some way to excuse them. We need to take his words. He is the Word of God. But Jesus is also the life and the light of the world, John tells us. The life of the world. Not only in a sense that he had an assist in creating the world, but he is the life of the world because through him, and only through him, we have life. That life that he illuminates as the light of the world is that pathway to God.
Amen.
So that when we want to find our salvation, when our life is a mess and we read the Gospel of John and we see Jesus changing life after life after life, making something new out of what was previously a mess, when we see all of that, we know that the pathway of life that he has illuminated of his own being is that path direct to God. He's the life and the light of the world. It continues the theme of creation, but it also is a theme that John's going to talk a lot about, because he talks a lot in his gospel about the spiritual darkness that people were living in. And here's the irony, and this is where we have to be very careful ourselves. The people who were in darkness, according to John, were the people that thought they were in the light. Let me just say that again. The people, according to John, that were in spiritual darkness are the people who thought they were in the light.
Amen.
We have to be careful that in our own lives and our experience, that we do not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. When these religious leaders began placing themselves above God's law and above other people's and set themselves up as authorities to tell those people what to do, John tells us, Jesus tells us, that they were actually leading people away from God. I don't think any of them intended to do that, but that was the net result of what they were doing, of the path that they had chosen, that they had chose to go down. And they were actually living in darkness. And so Jesus comes as the complete revelation of God to show and to reveal what the light of God is really like.
Amen.
What it means to live in light rather than darkness. What it means to see Jesus and God as the life. The life. Not a life, but the life. Everything that we could imagine when our lives are a mess and we wonder what in the world's happening and how do I change this. All those changes we can make are found in Jesus. That's what it means for him to be the life. He's the complete revelation of God for everything that ails us and creates problems in our own lives, if we will just turn those over to him, if we will just give those things to him and then bask in the light of God that he delivers down for us. And then finally, Jesus is God's grace and truth. This is all the way down in verses 15 through 18, 14 through 18. And John is contrasting the law. And in my opinion, John is not negative about the law. He's negative about people who have interpreted the law so as to create problems for other people. But for John, the law was one of God's original revelations of himself. The law reveals the character of God. The law reveals the way that God wants people to live. The law reveals the ways that people can live that are sinful, because the law reveals the character of God and what God wants. And so when John says in verse 17 that the law was given through Moses, he's not meaning this in a negative way. He's saying that that first revelation came through Moses, but now the final and complete revelation of grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That the law almost was a stepping stone to get them from that point with Moses to that revelation of grace and truth. Almost as though they couldn't have understood grace and truth without that stepping stone of the law first. But the law was not complete, and the law was not final. That was Jesus. And that's why he says, that's why John says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth is a New Testament way of talking about a term that creeps up over and over again in the Old Testament, where the writers, the prophets, and so on talk about God's steadfast love. You've all heard about that, God's steadfast love. And in John, he comes and talks about Jesus being God's steadfast love. God's covenant fulfiller, if you will. That everything that God was in the Old Testament pertaining to his character is now seen and wrapped up in the person of Jesus. And that's why he can say, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. No one has ever seen God, but God has been made known.
Amen.
And we can know God. What does John want us to do? How does John want us to know God? We know God by believing in Jesus. And if we look at these three phases of what, these three elements of what John is calling us to, when we think about Jesus being the Word of God, we're challenged to subject ourselves by doing what Jesus taught. We subject ourselves to him by doing what he taught. If we want to take seriously the idea that Jesus is the Word, if we want to acknowledge him as the Word in our life, then we have to take his teaching seriously. And we have to submit ourselves to his teaching, no matter how difficult it is,
Amen.
And the changes that he calls us to make.
Amen.
If we want to be faithful to his Word as the Word, we have to submit ourselves to his teaching. And when we think about Jesus being the life and the light of the world, he calls us to grow in relationship with him by becoming more like him. He calls us to walk down that path that he has marked out for us to be the life. And by the light of the world, he calls us to take on a stronger degree of purity in our lives.
Amen.
So that the light that we have within us, the Spirit of God within us, for those of us who have been baptized into his name, is that light that is within us that can radiate outwards, but not if we live a life of filth. Only as we live a life of purity, where sin is removed and erased from our lives, as we yield to the teaching of God that we find through Jesus. And then finally, when we think about Jesus as God's grace and truth, he calls us to stay loyal to him and to know him.
Amen.
To not find ourselves in a situation where we have a mixed loyalty to something else. Something that pulls us away from God. Something that gets between us and God, so that when a choice in our life has to be made, we find ourselves going in this direction instead of walking in this direction towards God.
Amen.
That's what it means for Jesus to be God's grace and truth, that final deliverance of God's character seen in the person and life and ministry and even death of Jesus. He calls us to give ourselves in that same way, to stay loyal to him, to let God's steadfast love fill our lives and then emanate outward. Is your life shaped around Jesus? Or is your life shaped around other things? Is Jesus a bit of a hobby that you engage in on the weekend? Does Jesus have serious say in your life when you're about to make a decision? Do you consult him about what you should do in your life? Do you consult him about decisions that you need to make? Do you consult him about relationships that you're in? And if you do consult him, do you take his advice seriously? Or do you say, well, that's fine, but if I do that, it's going to be hard for a few weeks, so forget that. I'm going to do what I knew was best anyway. And set yourself up as an idol over and above him. How is your life shaped? Is your life shaped around your job? Is your job more important to you in getting ahead and all those things that come with being a company person? I almost said company man, but that would exclude some. So being a company person, is that what shapes your life? Is that the force that's most powerful in your life? What about your retirement and having the freedom to be who you want to be and do what you want to do? Is that the force that shapes your life? Being a free spirit rather than living by the Spirit of God. What about your family? Do you let your family call the shots for you rather than being a spiritual leader within that family? Teaching them about God. Teaching them about Jesus. Modeling for them what a submissive and humble lifestyle before the Lord means. Or do you let your family dictate to you how you're going to live your life? What about your church? Do you let your church tell you what to do, rather than letting Jesus be the guide within the church to instruct the church and then let the church go out and do what it's supposed to do? How is your life shaped? John calls us to have our life shaped by the Lord, to listen to him as the Word, to be guided by him as the life and the light, and to look at him as the source for everything that sustains us, as God's grace and truth delivered once and for all to us. He calls us to shape our life around that. The question this morning for us is, will we do that? If you're here this morning for the first time feeling the call of God on your life, that he's calling you forward to give your life to Jesus, to let him change you, to let him wrap you up in a whole new set of priorities, to be immersed and baptized into his name, where you will receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit and a changed life. That might be one way that God is calling you to respond this morning. God might also be calling you to respond made perhaps with some repentance. I don't know. But God might be reaching into some of your lives and saying, you need to make some changes. You haven't allowed God and Jesus to shape your life the way it needs to be shaped. And so as we sing our last song this morning, if you are feeling the pull of God to come and be immersed into his name, or at least to talk more about that, we'd ask you to let us know. But also, if you feel a need to make some changes in your life, you can come forward and let us know. Or you can just stand where you're at and talk to God as we sing and let him know the changes that need to be made in your life. God already knows. He'll be so thankful that you've come to that point now in your life. And then he'll take that repentance and he'll work with you to change you so that you can begin shaping your life around Jesus. But however you need to respond, please do so.